Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of egalitarianism, sustainability, nonviolence, health, wellness, freedom, and ahimsa. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. This episode is part one of a two-part interview. How to prevent nuclear war and the transhumanist agenda. We'll be joined by Dr. Will Tuttle via Skype in Northern California. Dr. Tuttle is the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. Welcome, Will, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. It's great to be able to talk to you again.
Yes. Especially in this year, 2022, with all that's happening in this world.
Right. I know. It's time for us to really pay attention and to, I think, really to wake up about the underlying narrative that is being rolled out and the agenda that's being rolled out, which is very different than what people are aware of.
Yeah, Will, right there, it broke up a little bit. What was that last statement?
For people to be aware of the agenda that's rolling out in the narrative and understand that we have to look more deeply into the news and into the situations that are arising around us.
Yes, so let's talk about that, and let's frame it within the concept of deep veganism, authentic veganism, and holistic veganism. I think for some of our listeners, those might be new terms. Can you please intro with that?
Yes. So deep veganism is a term that I coined to try to help us understand the bigger picture, actually, of our entire society, the structural violence that's sort of built in when we're routinely and relentlessly imprisoning and abusing and killing billions of animals sort of behind the curtain. We don't really talk about it. And yet they're saran wrapped and sitting in the grocery store and we're eating them and we're talking about how wonderful our life is and so forth. And yet we have cows and pigs and chickens and fishes and other animals who are being horribly abused, but we don't make that connection. And so deep veganism is not only understanding that, but looking into the sociological and anthropological and historical and psychological and even the spiritual dimensions of this and how our violence towards animals reverberates through all of our cultural institutions, into our educational institutions, into science and medicine, into government and economics and politics, and into the family, and that everything that it touches, unfortunately, is harmful. It harms our natural ability to make connections, which is our intelligence. It harms our empathetic abilities to feel into and connect with others. It harms our self-respect, because when we look really deeply into the mirror of our life, we see that our physical body in many ways is made up of an enormous amount of suffering and violence that is completely unnecessary. You know, I've been a vegan for 42 years now. I started back in 1980, and I'm not the only one. There's literally millions of people like me and like you, Marlene, also, who are not eating animal-based foods, no meat, dairy products, or eggs. And I have to say, I'm at the age now, I'm almost 70 years old, and I can run around like I did when I was 20. I mean, I'm just as healthy, probably much healthier than people my age. And so it's not a sacrifice in terms of health. So that's the wonderful good news, essentially, is that we've all been given this gift of a physical body that does not require any animals to suffer or to be imprisoned or sexually abused and have their babies stolen and all this horror. It's completely unnecessary. So it's a war against animals. And to really understand this, we have to see that the society that imprisons animals, and we're born into that society, also imprisons us in mental prisons and puts blinders on us so that we don't see reality clearly. These blinders are slapped on when we're just little infants and we're watching our parents fix turkey and veal and chicken and beef and so forth, and they eat it and they pay for it, and they teach us that we should do the same thing and harden our hearts to the suffering of other beings, to the destruction of ecosystems, to the starvation of people who could eat the grain that these animals are eating. There's a whole myriad of devastating implications of animal agriculture in terms of starvation and the abuse of workers who have to stab animals all day. There's a whole network of radiating violence that goes out into our entire society that causes suffering to the vulnerable, and animals and future generations and ecosystems and hungry people, of course, are the vulnerable that are harmed, and wildlife as well. So the wonderful good news is that we can make an effort to understand the deep veganism approach and realize that it's not necessary for us to take out our wallets and pay for violence and misery and toxicity, which really causes us diabetes and obesity and heart disease and liver disease and kidney disease and cancer and all these things. We can reduce our risk of those. We can be part of the solution to the problems in the world. And what we see happening now in the last couple of years, especially as is predicted in deep veganism, which is focused on the idea that the outer world and the inner world reflect each other. And so we have this inner world where we dominate and exploit other beings and don't care about them and turn them into livestock. And we find that boomeranging back on us, as now we find ourselves more and more being treated as livestock. We find our basic freedoms of speech, of assembly, of bodily autonomy, and of religion all being taken away. And there's excuses for that. They say, oh, we have to do that so we can stay safe. Well, that's not a good excuse, because if you throw everybody into a prison to keep them safe, maybe you're safe in a prison, but that's not living a life. That's not, we don't have a human life. We don't build the ship of our beautiful life in order to keep that ship stuck in a harbor somewhere for years. We're here to get out and take risks and live our lives and learn and grow and contribute and wake up and be part of the healing of the world. And so I'm really very concerned that the inability of most human beings right now to stop eating animal foods and to question the violence towards animals has led us now to the very brink of the same thing happening to us that we've inflicted on them. The war against animals that we are inflicting on them is now right at our doorstep. And we see the World Health Organization, for example, is now making a very strong attempt to gain sovereignty over the entire planet, including the countries of Europe, the United States, Canada, Australia, and really all the countries in the world. There's over 190 countries that have said they're willing to let the World Health Organization determine the approach to any future pandemic in every single jurisdiction. And so that would mean the end of our constitution. If they declare an emergency, the World Health Organization can say, okay, now everyone has to lock down. Everyone has to be vaccinated. Everyone has to have this certain protocols inflicted on them. And our local counties, our state governments, our national governments would have no power to question that. So this is a rollout of a globalist agenda that we can see very clearly being rolled out over the last 2 years. And the response that was initiated by the World Health Organization was clearly a complete disaster in terms of human health and the devastating impact that these policies have had on the mental health and the physical health of human beings, especially of children. So it's very important for us to open up our eyes and see that if we are going to insist on medically abusing millions of animals like we do, and force medicating them and tracking them like we do, millions of animals, billions of animals actually, that we're sowing the seeds for the same thing to happen to us. And to rouse ourselves and reconnect with our basic intelligence and our yearning to be agents of life and health and freedom for our, not only for ourselves, but for our children. You know, we live in Massachusetts, and which is, 200 years ago when we had the revolution, actually it's almost 300 years ago now, it was taking off. I was born and raised in Concord, Massachusetts, and the whole idea was that we stand up for freedom for ourselves and for our children, and we don't allow some forces that are outside of us to dictate our lives and destroy the possibilities that we have for living our lives in a way that's authentic and meaningful and to grow spiritually. Because without freedom to read and to communicate and to think and to assemble and so forth, we're reduced to the status of livestock, and that's not a human life. And once we get into that position, it can be very difficult to get out of it. Look at cows and pigs. They've been enslaved now for 10,000 years. Once, it could happen, it could be a long time. So it's very important right now that we not allow this to happen.
Thank you, Will. Yes, and it's so obvious on all fronts, everywhere, and it makes sense to me, like what you just described, the violence and the tyranny and the suffering and the trauma that billions and trillions of animals are experiencing in both animal agriculture as well as the laboratories, the pharmaceutical, chemical, biomedical, scientific, and military laboratories.
That's a really good point. You know, a lot of people think that the main enemy that animals have is the meat, dairy, and egg industry. And my research over the last 40 years has shown no. It's really the pharmaceutical industry, especially. They make massive profits, not only on over 10,000 different drugs and hormones, antibiotics and chemicals that they've developed to be used on animals that are imprisoned for meat, dairy products, and eggs, but also on people who eat those toxic foods and get sick. So the pharmaceutical industry now has pretty much, as you know, I think everybody knows this, captured the mainstream media. And so the mainstream media is giving us a very perverted view of reality that's based on maximizing fear of germs. And of course, when we're afraid of animals and we're afraid of life and we're afraid of nature, because we're eating so much meat and causing so much suffering to animals, then of course we're going to be afraid of germs. We have systems in place to make us afraid so that we give up our freedom and allow ourselves to have more and more toxic chemicals spewed into our air, our water, our food, and injected into us, into our bodies through hypodermic needles. I mean, this is all a massive injection of toxic substances into our lives. So we have to understand that if we want to be healthy, we need to connect again with nature and connect with our true nature and question these large corporations, which are really controlled by a tiny handful of people who have power and wealth only because we don't question them and we allow this to happen. And I think it's possible for a tiny minority to rule and dominate and exploit billions of people the same way it's possible for a few human beings to dominate and exploit millions of animals. We need to really understand the importance of refusing to comply with tyranny and refusing to comply with narratives and agendas that have at their core a goal of enslaving humanity.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle.
Hi, tired of the same old? Join me, Lee Morin, every Friday morning from 6 until 9 for a foot-stomping mix of musical madness. Some rock, some country, a dash of blues, and a pinch of jug band. We like to call it real music for real people. That's Friday Cross Tracks, every Friday morning from 6 until 9, right here on WCUW 91.3 FM.
Hi, this is Lise. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, on the web at WCUW.org.
Welcome back from the break. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. And I'd like to announce a vegan event happening in India, the Animal Liberation March in Mumbai, India, on May 28th, 2022. And now we'll continue our interview. We're joined by Dr. Will Tuttle via Skype in Northern California. Thanks again, Dr. Tuttle, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene, and thank you, everyone, for listening in.
This is so important, this topic that we're discussing with deep veganism and the global crisis that is happening in 2022. And so, Dr. Tuttle, can you please tell us how the principles and the practice within the World Peace Diet can truly help prevent nuclear war and also the transhumanist agenda?
Right. Well, you know, those are two things that are looming right now, actually, and in a way much sooner than I think we had thought. You know, I remember back in the 1980s when we were quite concerned about nuclear war, when there was a lot of saber rattling between the United States and the Soviet Union, and people were working hard to try to cool things down and stop nuclear war. And there were so many protests. I took part myself in demonstrations against the possibility of nuclear war, because if we have a nuclear exchange in Russia now, in the United States, of course, as well as China, Israel, France, Britain, a number of countries have nuclear weapons. And we're at a situation now with this Ukraine situation where for the very first time we have U.S. politicians actually openly calling for destroying Russia and destroy and you know, being willing to fight them, you know. And they have a very powerful nuclear weapon capability, more powerful according to most military experts than the United States. I mean, it's more sophisticated than the United States, and so they can deliver nuclear weapons against the United States much more effectively than we can against them. And yet here we are, you know, kind of poking the bear in the eye at a great risk, you know, and tremendous expense. And you know, we have in the United States a situation where we really need to help people and to rebuild our infrastructure, and yet we're spending billions of dollars on a war and on increasing the likelihood of a nuclear conflagration, which could take many forms. It could be an EMP, which is an electromagnetic pulse, and that would be devastating. You know, if Russia just decided to explode a nuclear weapon in the atmosphere, it would send out a pulse that would knock out the power systems and the grid and computer systems and so forth, which would cause tremendous suffering and the death of probably millions of people with no possibility for food for quite a few weeks or months. So there's many ways this could play out if we continue to increase violence, fear, and conflict in the world. You know, these things have consequences, and so we have to understand how this is connected directly to the underlying mentality of animal agriculture. We have a whole society that has at its core the oppression and domination of billions of animals and seeing them as mere objects to be used and not caring about them and their welfare. and we're eating that, and we're feeding that to our children on a massive scale. And then we, through doing that for 10,000 years, we create very hierarchical authoritarian systems of power, like we have over animals, and we have the same thing reflected in our governmental systems. And so now we have at the very top, unfortunately, of our governmental systems, we have people who are ruthless. And in many ways, I unfortunately think have lost their sanity and are using the power and the money, the funds that come from the people to do things that are attacking the earth, attacking our society, attacking children, attacking peace, because there's a tremendous amount of money and power to be consolidated when you do that. Like, they have made no money on me for any health treatment in the last 50 years. I've not been to a doctor or to a drugstore, and because I've taken responsibility for my health. And I think the same thing is true for information, and we have to take responsibility for the information that we're getting. And that's why I so appreciate what you're doing, Marlene, with your radio show, to help people get an alternative point of view. We have to take responsibility for the quality of our relationships. The relationships that we have with the people in our lives are respectful and kind and loving. And the same thing is true for us in our civic duties, to be informed about what's actually happening, to do the best we can to elect representatives that really represent us. And unfortunately, we've become so disconnected from that. And so we've lost our way in terms of the media and the information that we get. We're actually allowing the same forces that control the media and the government and the large corporations and the large holding companies like BlackRock and State Street and these huge financial holding companies that control the media and the pharmaceutical industries and so forth. They control the banks as well. So we have to realize that this is the situation that we're facing, and we don't know what they are thinking, really, but there's a lot of evidence that they think there's too many human beings on the planet right now. We're getting close to 7 billion people, 8 billion people. You know, there's a lot of effort, it seems, to just reduce the population. It's very clear that there are what are called DUMs, which are deep underground military bases, which are places where people can be safe in any kind of a nuclear conflict, which could lead to a nuclear winter. There might not be any life on Earth surviving, or very few people would survive a nuclear winter. For example, if you have 2 or 3 years of no sun after a nuclear exchange, unless you're in an underground facility. And who has the money to have underground facilities? It's only a wealthy elite that has. They all have their underground facilities where they can be safe. But we don't. Most people don't have that for themselves. So we have to realize that it's not in our best interest to allow our funds and our power to go to people who either want to reduce the population and sort of like we do with livestock, cull the herd, you know, reduce the amount to make it easier, or who, as you mentioned, see us basically as flawed. There's a strong eugenics movement. It's been going on for years, for decades, for centuries, really. And it's very well known, of course, that Bill Gates and Bill Gates' father was a eugenicist, and a lot of the power brokers are eugenists. And I think they look at human beings as flawed, and that we would be better off to be a transhumanist world, a world where artificial intelligence is taking things over, and so we don't really need humans anymore. We can run everything with robots. We can give the few people that are left over, we can give them guaranteed income. But there's quite a bit of evidence, and they don't really hide it. The World Economic Forum, for example, and the Great Reset, they talk quite openly about the fact that The world would be a much better place if the people didn't own anything, and if there were fewer human beings, and if artificial intelligence was running everything. So the phasing out of human beings is really, to me, a satanic, very dark agenda, and yet it's portrayed in the media as something positive. And again, I think it's essential for us to realize that we human beings are not flawed. We are beautiful, magnificent beings. The problem is we've been born into a society where we've been brainwashed, unfortunately, from the time we're little infants to eat animal foods. And that, unfortunately, brings out the worst in us. It makes us ashamed of ourselves. We commit huge amounts of violence when we go to the grocery store and the restaurant and we buy meat, dairy products and eggs. We cause all these animals to be slaughtered. And we eat misery and terror and fear and pain and despair. And out of that, we're drawn to and fascinated with violence and violent films and violent music and wars and so forth. But that's not our true nature. It's just something that has developed, like I say, in the World Peace Diet over the last 10,000 years of animal agriculture. And our whole species, in a sense, has been brought away from our true nature. So it's now critical that we wake up out of this trance and give freedom to animals. Let animals be free and let them live their lives. Return them their sovereignty. That's the only way we'll be able to get our sovereignty back. And once we do that, we'll wake up out of this trance and we'll be able to see very clearly that there are forces that are treating us the same way we've been treating animals, as mere commodities. And I've been saying this for years. You know, we're genetically engineering animals now. We're trying to dumb them down genetically. For their own good, right? They say, oh, gosh, if cows and pigs and chickens were desensitized and were less intelligent, they'd be much happier. They would sit in their cages. They'd stop banging their heads against the bars and driving themselves into insanity. They'd stop picking each other's eyes out. They would just be calm because they would be dumbed down so much that they would be easily exploitable. We have to understand that, you know, if we're going to sow those seeds in millions of animals and create a whole so-called science to dumb down animals and make them more easily exploitable, then we're going to see the same thing happening to us. And I can see it very clearly. My PhD is in education, and I focused on intelligence. And our whole educational system is based on forcing and compelling students to obey authority and to move away from really critically thinking and connecting with their inner wisdom and the inner beauty and creativity that they have, that's their true nature. So all of our institutions work in that way. Our media, of course, dumbs us down. So the whole idea is that we have to take responsibility for our consciousness and for the ripples that radiate from our life out into the infinite web of relations, and do the best we can that the ripples that radiate from our life are ripples that bring peace and freedom to other living beings, to animals and to other human beings. And we can each do that. And I think the main way is to meditate and understand these things, do the research, and then talk about it like we're doing right now, and share these ideas with other people, and realize that we do have the power to create a beautiful world of harmony and peace on this abundant and beautiful earth.
You're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. This is part one, and please join us again next week at the same time for part two of this interview. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. And this is Marlene wishing you a good day.